If you'd turn in your Bibles for the last time in the book of Hebrews, at least for the next 10 years maybe, if we have 10 years, to chapter 13 of the book of Hebrews. This is again part B of the sermon Soup to Nuts from Dan to Beersheba. We've been looking at a variety of things in this book as Paul closes this out. He's written so much that he's getting out of room on his papyrus. So he's briefly hitting a lot of subjects. Chapter 13, he crescendos. After he's told them about the new covenant and not to go back to that old covenant. Moses was a nice guy, but Jesus is a son. Don't follow Moses, follow Jesus. He starts summarizing. We've seen love of the brethren. We've seen showing hospitality to strangers. We've seen the fact that these believers paid a great price for their witness of Jesus and that they had been imprisoned. And we found out that he is not just talking about a ministry to prisons generally. He's talking about the fact that Christians throughout the ages will be thrown into prison for their testimony of Jesus Christ, have the courage to identify with them. Those precious people in the Middle East right now, may God protect them. He's told us about being free from the love of money. We told you the only time Jesus ever took out a whip and got mad was not at the sinner, not at the Samaritan, not at the prostitute, not at anyone except whom? The money changer banksters. Anybody look up the city of London last week? What'd you think, Mark? Crazy. Even the Queen of England has to bow. By the way, known terrorists have fled there for protection. Isn't that interesting? We won't get into that today. We have visitors. They'll think I'm crazy, and I am. City of London, independent banking state. Because they make more money out of blowing things up and rebuilding them than any other thing. It keeps the economy going. Jesus got mad at the banksters. And what do you hear from preachers today, by the way? You turn on the television and what do all those bozos talk about? But God's true people are to be free from the love of money. You cannot serve God, Jesus said, and money. He reminded us in verse 7 to remember those who led, who spoke the word of God, and imitate their faith. He told us that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if someone brings up something about Jesus that you've never heard before, reject it. Jesus in his person will never change. By the way, we told you, as odd as it may seem, the Bible says that Jesus is still incarnate in the flesh, even though he's been glorified. Now that is difficult to see how that works, but when Jesus was raised physically, and he's still in that physical body, even though he has supernatural characteristics to his physical body. I can't explain that, but Jesus is the same. He will return bodily, and he will show us the scars. Those scars don't have to be there, by the way. He's in a glorified body, but they serve as a witness. If anybody comes to you and says to you, I'm Jesus Christ, show me the scars. Then he warned the church, don't be carried away by strange teachings. How do we want this church to be? Like the Bereans. When I say something, I don't ask you to trust me. You get your Bible open and you find out if the Word actually says what Pastor Dave says. And if it doesn't, then you better reject it. What is there about a pulpit that causes people to go to sleep? You ever notice some of these preachers, they'll hold a Bible, they'll be in front of a pulpit, and then the whole congregation goes asleep. Tell us how to think, preacher. Well, this is how you think. And that means that there's a lot of preachers that are filled with theology that contradicts Scripture. That's why I don't like man-made theology anymore, because often theology that's made by man, and all theology is made by man, will contradict what the Scripture says. Don't get caught up in theology. Look what the Word says. In its plain, normal sense. Now he goes on, and Paul has a biting wit. Paul, as an apostle, never lost his biting wit that he could bring to bear. And Paul, in this next verse, in verse 10, has a biting wit that absolutely you need to watch for and recognize. Now remember, what is Hebrews dealing with? Christians, Jewish Christians, nonetheless, when you are in, when the new covenant, when you become a believer in Jesus, Jew or Gentile, guess what you become a part of? The church. There is neither Jew nor Gentile. That's all gone under the new covenant. That's what the Bible says. I know man-made theology will tell you different. That's why I'm more and more rejecting it. Let the Word of God speak. And you know what happened the moment they followed Jesus. Guess who became upset with them? Those fellow Jews that didn't follow Jesus. And that's what happens, I told you about in Israel. You follow Jesus in Israel, and up to right now, you couldn't be a citizen of Israel if you were at an ethnic background of being a Jew. Paul sent me an email that said, well, they've changed that just recently. But what I found was the irony was, in Saddam's empire, you could be a Christian. Not in Israel. They paid a price. And they were told, if you follow Jesus, you get out of the temple. You get out of the temple. You are no longer Jewish following this Jesus. It's interesting that the Jews, after Jesus, followed several messiahs, all of which were absolutely false messiahs, led them down a primrose path, and they were absolutely slaughtered following false messiahs. And they told them, you have no right to be at the temple. If you're going to follow this Jesus, John has a biting wit. I mean, Paul has a biting wit. Look what he says in verse 10. We, who's the we? That's anybody who follows Jesus Christ as Savior, Jew or Gentile. You're placed into the body of Jesus Christ, the precious church of the living God that no one will replace. The bride of Christ. We have an altar from those which who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. You know what he's saying? He knew that these precious people who had followed Jesus and became part of the church were told, get out of the temple. You have no right The great irony is, what Paul is saying is, if you don't follow Jesus, you can be in that temple or tabernacle all you want. You are not his true people. No one is God's people that doesn't follow Jesus Christ. That is now intolerant. I am a bigot. And indeed, could be declared all sorts of things for proclaiming that apart from Jesus Christ, Jew or Gentile has nothing, the Bible says. We Christians, Jew and Gentile, have a tabernacle that those who think they belong, who tell you they're God's chosen people, apart from Jesus Christ, there is not one Jewish person who is chosen. That's what the Bible says. You want me to give you somebody's theology that say, well, they get a special shot? No, they don't. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. They were telling those people, get out. Paul is saying those people that are excluding you are the ones who have no right in the true tabernacle. How do you like that? What's your theology? Apart from Jesus Christ, I don't care who it is, what? They get nothing. We don't say that arrogantly. We don't say that in hatred. We say that because that's what the Word of God says. The Jews were telling those other precious Christians who were Jewish, you get out of here. You have no right at the tabernacle. Paul is saying, we have a tabernacle that they have no right, the true tabernacle. Put that into your thinking. One needs to follow Jesus the Messiah to have anything in the eyes of the Father. Look what it says in verse 11 as he continues that thought. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the high place by the high priest as a sin offering are burned outside the camp. Now look at that phrase, outside the camp. That is spoken with delicious irony by Paul. In the Old Testament, God's people had the privilege of having the Shekinah glory be with them in the camp. You want to do an amazing study? Do a study on in and outside the camp. And when Israel would move, God's people in the Old Testament, God would dwell inside with his people in the camp. And they'd take all the refuse and the people that were disobedient and they'd put them outside the camp. But it's very delicious irony Paul speaks here, for when God's people rejected him, guess what God did? God moved outside the camp. In Exodus, when the children of Israel in chapter 32 decided to throw a party when Moses was gone, and made a calf. You know what God's presence did? Outside the camp. God would rather be with the decaying bodies and the refuse than with a people that claim to know him and reject him. He'd rather be with the refuse outside the camp than to dwell with the people that give him lip service but don't know him. And Moses, it says after that idolatrous episode, God moved out of the camp, Moses moved out of the camp, and what he was saying was, see everybody in that camp? They don't know Him. I won't dwell with them. If you want to dwell with me, come outside the camp where my presence dwells. You see, what Paul is saying is, it's a delicious irony. The Jewish people that thought they were the ones that had right to be in the temple, in the tabernacle, and in the camp were actually the ones that had no right. And only those who followed Messiah Jesus were the ones who had the right to be in the true camp of God. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle, those who are at the temple, those who say, get out, they have no right. God doesn't want to dwell with them because they reject His Messiah. You better put that in your theology. No one is chosen apart from Jesus Christ and the new covenant. Therefore, verse 12, Jesus, that He might sanctify the people through His own blood. Guess where they put our Messiah? Where'd they put Him? Outside the city, outside the camp. Guess what? I'll dwell with Jesus outside of those who think they're chosen when they're not. Any day I will suffer with Jesus, my Messiah, outside the camp. Because outside the camp is where God's true presence is. He'd rather dwell with the refuse and those who identify with Jesus than those who think they are privileged and are chosen. They live under a delusion. The delicious irony here. Hence, let us go outside the camp and bear His reproach. Jesus said, the world's going to hate you. And by the way, when Jesus was saying that in John, the world was those in the synagogue. The world's going to hate you. Bear the reproach of Jesus Christ. Be willing to suffer the shame. Here's that old song, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. And I don't care what you think, and I will bear His reproach. And you can tell me all about how you're chosen apart from Christ, and I will tell you that is not what the Word of God says. For here we do not have a lasting city. This ain't your home, in verse 14. What did Paul call this place in Galatians? This present what? Evil. What must heaven be like? You know, we have some amazing things. But this is an evil world. What must heaven and what must be God's kingdom be like? Amazing. Here is not our home. What does the Bible call in Hebrews? Those who are Jesus, who are outside the camp, bearing His reproach. They're called what? Aliens. Don't look up in the sky for UFOs and lights. Foreigners. You lost your citizenship. You're the illegal aliens, and I'm telling you something. They're going to come for your kind of illegal aliens in what's coming. You better get ready. Because this evil world system does not like those who bear the reproach of Christ. They're going to come for the illegal aliens, and it ain't going to be the ones that you think. It's us. Through Him, therefore, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise. Under the new covenant, there is only one sacrifice. That was Jesus. And you may offer something that is symbolic of sacrifice. You may thank Him for what He's done. But the sacrificial system is over. If there ever is a future sacrificial system, it maligns and blasphemes the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't you ever hope that they build a temple in Jerusalem. I've heard all these stories. They've got all of it ready. Listen to me. When they offer those animals, they die needlessly. That is a blasphemy against the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who shed His blood. Animals are over. And that blasphemy. blasphemes the blood of my Savior. That's the whole sin of Hebrews, is to go back to the Old Testament system with its animal sacrifice. It blasphemes Jesus Christ. And I will not participate in anything that will blaspheme what my Savior did by dying outside the camp. Through Him let us offer the sacrifice of praise and give thanks. Next subject of Dan to Beersheba, verse 16. Do not neglect doing good and sharing. For with such sacrifices God is pleased. You want to make God happy? Share. Do good things. Don't shaft your fellow Christian. And then verse 17. Steve's promised me to have a Kevlar pulpit, but look what verse... Did I say this or does the Bible? Obey your leaders. You know what the most frequent meal on Sunday afternoon? Roast preacher. It ain't chicken and it isn't ham. I'm not going to dwell here, but look what it says. Obey your leaders. Paul's talking here, not me. That means obey the elders. I know what most people think. I ain't going to listen to that crazy preacher. I'm not going to ride a hobby horse. That's what it said. Submit to them. Now, if they're not leading you in the Word of God and they're telling you to do things that are contrary to the Word of God, you don't do that. But if they're leading you in the Word of God, for they keep watch over your souls. I'll tell you one thing why you don't want to be a preacher. We're going to answer for how we led God's flock. And there is going to be a lot of roast preacher. But not for the meal on Sunday afternoon, but before the Lord, because some preachers have no right to be in the pulpit. But a preacher has to answer, to whom much is given, Jesus said, much is required. And James says, teachers have the greater what? That's why when I preach the Word of God, I've made it determine one thing. I will preach what it says, whether some theologian or some study Bible disagrees with me, I don't give a rip anymore. I will preach God's Word. So C.I. Schofield and all of those can take a hike. We're going to give an account. I want to remind the elders that we will give an account how we treat you as God's people. You are precious. We need to remember that. Let them do this with joy. I got to be honest with you. Although I love my precious church and my precious people, I've had churches where I didn't minister with joy. Sandy and I'm going to write a book when it's all over. I have a file this thick. I've had anonymous letters sent to me. I've been threatened to be sued by people on the pastoral staff. By the way, we know who those anonymous letters were. They think they were hiding it from them, and we know who they were. I've been lied about. I had one guy at one church said I tried to jump over the table and hit him, and as you know, as you get to know me, there's one thing that as you get to know me, you can be sure of. Ain't no way I'm brave enough to do something like that. Chicken Dave is what I am known as. I haven't always served at a church with joy. I'm going to write a book. It's coming. I got this somewhere in my office is this thick file of absolutely crazy things that have gone on in church. I won't use any names, but I got stories. Oh, do I have stories? Let them serve with joy.
Because we watch over your souls.
That's why you don't want to be a preacher. People come up to me, Pastor Dave, how come certain people can't be preachers? Well, let me tell you something. You don't want to be a preacher. Because we're going to answer for God as to how we preach. And what we didn't mention because we feared man. I don't fear you. You're welcome to hold a meeting after church and vote me out. Frankly, I will not allow anything but God's Word and what the Word says, and that means I'm going to contradict a lot of theology. The older I get, the more I'm getting absolutely negative on these systematized systems of theology. Some of you may not know what they are, and that's good. Stay away from it. Just remember, do whatever the Word says, not what someone says about the Word. Let them do this with joy and not with grief. Then he says, pray for us, for we are sure that we have a good conscience, desiring to conduct ourselves honorably in all things. And I urge you all the more to do this, that I may be restored to you sooner. Paul finds himself in prison. Why? Because he had to bear the reproach of Jesus outside the camp. Boy, we're going to find out when we get to Galatians. You want a guy that was hated? I'm telling you today, Jewish theologians consider Paul a self-hating Jew because he proclaimed Jesus Christ. Actually, he was the only truly completed Jew who found Jesus as Messiah. They stoned him. He was a rabid ISIS fundamentalist. He was. Killing people, stoning them, arresting them, beating them. And God said, you know, I can use a man with a zeal like that to make him into a powerful preacher of God. And he did. And Paul will say as we get there, I suffered the loss of everything for the sake of knowing Jesus Christ. That's what bearing the reproach of Jesus is all about. He was in prison. He ends this epistle. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you to every good thing. Who's going to equip us here? Who's going to equip us? How are you going to grow this church, preacher? I'm not. Preachers don't grow churches. You know what preachers are called to do? Preach the Word. And after that, by the way, if you think Jesus, everybody, by the time he was in John chapter 6, most of the people that Jesus preached to had left. He's finally down to 11. Lord, there's only us 12 left. Jesus said, are you going to leave too? No, Lord, you are only the one who has the words of eternal life. It's the Lord that will grow the church, that will equip us through dependence upon Him. Brethren, I urge you, bear this word of exhortation. Bear it. What does that mean? The word bear there means you better understand it, study it, and employ it in your thinking. For I have written to you briefly. Can you imagine that? It took me 2.5 years to get through a brief letter of Paul. Actually, I probably hurried too quickly through it. Take notice that our brother Timothy has been released, with whom, if he comes, I will greet you soon. Greet all of those leaders and all the saints. Those from Italy greet you. Now, does that mean he was in Italy and sending hello? Or was he saying those who were with him that came from Italy? We don't know. Grace be with you all. And Paul ended his verse. And the thing I want you to remember about Hebrews is this. We have an altar from which altar those who serve in the tabernacle of the old covenant under Moses have nothing. It is only through Jesus Christ in Him alone that we have anything. So ends the book of Hebrews. Now we take up Galatians, for Galatians deals with the fact of, you know what was happening? Those same Jewish people came into the churches of Gentiles and began to tell them, you got to follow Moses, you got to do this, you got to do that. And I'll tell you what Paul will say to these people when he's done. No wonder they stoned him.